And the UNAM Readiness Program, the University of Namibia, is pleased to announce the continuation of UNAM Readiness Program in 2026 for equitable access to higher education. The program is specifically designed for prospective students aiming to enroll in UNAM undergraduate qualification, excluding professionally regulated programs. The readiness program is intended for learners who have done NSCA, NSCHC, or equivalent, but do not meet the minimum UNAM admission requirement. Applications are completed online via the UNAM website, www.unam.edu.na/online-application. Prospective students are encouraged to apply by 20th February 2026 and consult official UNAM platform for admission requirement. So you have until today to actually do your applications. So good morning. I think today it's just not... It doesn't just want to go the way I want everything to go. So our time is 17 minutes past the hour of 8. And as usual, we start with the history on our continent on this day in Africa. So welcome to On This Day in Africa, where we take a look at back. We look at back at the moment that shape our continent. Today is the 20th February. Let's explore what happened on this day in African history. So we began in South Africa back in 1950. Back in 1950, it was on this day that the apartheid government introduced the Population Registration Bill in Parliament for the very, very, very first time. Now, this wasn't just any piece of legislation. So this bill was the foundation of the most oppressive system in the world has ever seen. Now, in simple terms, the bill required every South African to be classified by race, white, black, colored, or Indian. And that classification determined now where you could live, where you could work, where... what school your children can go to or can attend, and even who you actually could marry. So even the person who could marry. So you can't marry a white person if you are black. You can't marry, if you are colored, you could marry a white, or, you know. So that was the bill. So it was the legal backbone of apartheid, and it sent the stage, it set the stage for many years of segregation and injustice. So it was a painful chapter in our continental history, in our history, but one we must not forget, one we must never forget so that it doesn't happen again. All right, fast forward to 2011, and the wind of change were blowing across the North Africa. The wind of change sweeping across the African continent, yeah. So this day, mass protest erupted in Morocco. It was called the February 20th Movement, and it was part of the broader Arab Spring that swept through the region. So thousands of Moroccans took to the street, demanding political reform and an end to corruption and greater social justice. Now, this was a defining moment in Morocco's modern history. The protest pushed the monarch to introduce constitutional reforms and gave ordinary citizens a stronger voice in how their country is governed. So this is a reminder that when people speak with one voice, even the most established powers must listen. And now let's look at something that connects all of us, that connect us all across the continent. So since 2009, 20th February has been marked globally as the United Nations World Day of Social Justice. So today is the World Day of Social Justice. So it's a day dedicated to reflecting on the challenges that still affect millions of Africans to every day. So poverty, inequality, unemployment, and issues of human rights. So here in Africa, this day holds a special meaning from the township of South Africa to the villages of rural Kenya, from the market of Lagos to the street of Cairo. So the fight for social justice is far from over. So today is the moment to ask ourselves as Africans, what more can we do to build a fairer, more inclusive society? And close to the present, on this day in 2022, Ethiopia celebrated a major milestone, the Grand Ethiopian Resistance Dam, one of the Africa's largest hydroelectric projects, began generating electricity. So this was a historic moment, not just for Ethiopia, but for the entire continent. The dam on the Blue Nile has been years in the making and present Africa push for energy independence and economic transformation. So when complete, it's expected to generate over 5,000 megawatt of power, enough to light up millions of homes and businesses. Yeah, it is a symbol of what African nation can achieve through determination and investment in infrastructure. So, and finally, a birthday to remember on this day in 1971, South African rugby legend Joost van der Westhuizen was born. And for those who follow rugby in the 1990s and early 2000s, just need no introduction, actually. So he was a scrum half with unmatched skills, courage, and a good leadership. So he played a key role in South Africa's historic 1995 Rugby World Cup victory, a moment that united a nation emerging from apartheid, you know. So just passed away in 2017, but his legacy lives on, both on the field and in the hearts of rugby fans across the continent. So may his soul continue to rest in to rest in peace. So, and that is on this day in Africa for the 20th of February. So history that continue to shape who we are. So remember, our history is our strength. So, and welcome. Thanks for joining us. If you're just joining us at this point in time, our time is about 24 minutes past the hour of 8, and we're coming to you live from the Ondangwa studio. So it's Friday, February the 20th, the thought for the day. What is our thought for the day? So fortune favors the brave. Fortune favors the brave. So the proverb means that people who act with courage and take risk are more likely to achieve success or good outcomes rather than those who stay cautious or hesitant. Now, it suggests that being bold, stepping out of your comfort zone and confronting challenges increases your chances of opportunity or even luck. So everyday use today, it's often used to encourage people to take initiative or face fear. So for example, to try something challenging, pursue a goal, or even just seizing an opportunity. So because without action, success is unlikely. So whatever decision or choices you make this morning or today, make sure you step out of your comfort zone and confront challenges to be able to, you know, to increase your chances of the opportunities. So fortune favors the brave. So that's our thought for the day. So welcome. And our time is 26 minutes past 8. And we will be together until the hour of 10 o'clock when we'll be handing over to Tate France with Kofta Moshe around 10 o'clock. Oh my God. So, all right. So what we can expect today, oh my God, my computer just went off. All right, just hold on a few minutes.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts.
Okay.
Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene. Anageshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakudo ni randitoma yoe yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tu imemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimwepo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengera selma, konorahita tuimu. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, o niyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, good morning and welcome back. It's just today, it's just like there's some kind of some power that it just doesn't want me to do what I need to do. So yeah, I have some problem on my computer. So just hold on. Yeah, but before, while it's still trying to load and open again, I don't know what is happening on my computer. Yeah, today's our edition, today's edition of The Villager is out. And so some of the stories that we... Okay, we're going to come back after this.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right, welcome back. I can tell you this is one of my worst day here. So, all right, welcome back. And some of the topics that we making headlines in today's edition of the Villager is that Midco paid producers $1.2 billion in the land financial year, in the last financial year. And this is the story that actually make the headline in today's edition of the Villager. So yeah, it's just say that for the financial year of 2024-2025, which ended in January last year, Midco has paid about $1.2 billion to the local producers. You know, these are the cattle suppliers from the south and the north of the red line as well, according to an update from an entity. So, and on the other pages as well, another story that we will actually unpack if my computer allowed to, you know, open up. So it's in the process. So the Parliament requests for a more time with the national budget. This is a story that we will be packing. And other stories that we have in the today's edition of the Villager is the electricity supply industry rules to be modernized. So that is the Electricity Control Board, the ECB, and the industry stakeholders recently held the second workshop on the review of the tariff methodology, the net metering, and also economic rules in Windhoek. So that also another stories that you can find in today's edition of the Villager. So a very other interesting story is also on page 7, where Independent Labor Dispute Commission to be established. That's a very interesting story that one can look at. So the Namibia is taking a step to establish an independent commission for the alternative dispute resolution, and it's aimed at improving the speed and the fairness, professionalism of the labor dispute. So that's another story that you can find in today's edition on page 7. So yeah, and also the sport lovers, you know, there's also all is set for the 40th Nedbank cycle challenge. That is found on page 9, and it has been 40 years since Nedbank cycle challenge first took place as a Namibia's first ever corporate cycling event, and this year the historic race returned with a new format for cyclists, further emphasizing its evolution from a modest gathering to a significant contribution to cycling development in Namibia. So the 2026 event The 2026 event will take place on Sunday, the 22nd of February, at the University of Namibia. So, all right. What else can we find in today's edition of the villagers? Yeah, there is an industrial brief that we found there, which we will also maybe touch a little bit later on in the show. And also, there's also some interesting piece there, opinion piece, about Namibia above and before space when it comes to data centers. That's what we can find in today's edition of the villages. So I'm really sorry. Hopefully, my computer will be done and we get on on the show. So stay tuned. We'll be back in a sec.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana longeshifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongoti samwene. Anageshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandisoma yoe yongeshifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengera selma konarahe tatu imu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oniyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend.
All right, welcome back. And thanks for joining us. If you're just joining us now, welcome to Unpacking the Day. All right. So it's getting there. As I said, sometimes technology fails us and it fails me this morning. All right. Just be patient. We will be unpacking the day right now. Okay. So we, as I said, what we expect to discuss today on the show, it's looking at the Namibian Parliament Budget Committee is advocating for a major overhaul of the national budget process, demanding about 60 to 90 additional days to scrutinize government and spending. To scrutinize government spending plans more effectively. So that's what we're going to look at. And if we still have time, we're going to look at China will grant duty-free access to its market for nearly all African partners starting in May this year. So we're going to look at that as well, who actually benefit from that. And as usual, your participation, it's definitely part of the show. So let's now. So now, today, as I said, now let me ask you this. Okay, let me ask you this. Have you ever been handed a document at work, maybe at work, and told to sign it immediately? So sign it immediately. No time to read, no time to question. Just sign here. Sign here right now. Okay. How did that make you feel? Definitely it makes you feel powerless because you couldn't go through everything to know what you're signing about. You get frustrated and like your opinion didn't matter. So that's exactly what our member of parliament are actually going through. That's what our member of parliament alluding that parliament have been going through when it comes now to our national budget. Year after year, budget after budget, but something is now changing. So let's look at that. That's a story that we have today in today's edition, from our today's edition of The Villager by Nino Menmavali Hangala. So now, it's a budgetary day in Parliament, okay? The Minister of Finance stand up, tables the national budget, and then what happened? Our parliamentarians are expected to analyze, debate, and approve billions of Namibian dollar in just a few short weeks, okay? In just a few short weeks, and sometimes days, actually. You know, if we look at the previous one, last year, it was actually just few days. It was not probably a week or so. You know, Parliament get it just a little too late. So sometimes they just get it too late. So now, in fact, now the committee is saying that sometimes it feel like we are being handed a fait accompli. Now I want you to hold on to that word. I'm not sure even if I'm pronouncing it right. Fait accompli, accompli or accompli. It sounds fancy, but what does it mean? So now the committee tells us it means something that hasn't already happened, something that has already happened or been decided before those affected hear about it. So it's something that has been already decided before those have been affected by it actually decide or see what is going on. So leaving them just with no option but to accept it. So that's exactly what it means. So now, and let me break this down in plain terms. Now, what it means is that if imagine your family decide to buy a car, your family decide to buy a car, that's a big purchase really for the family. So, but instead of sitting down together to discuss what car, what price, what features, one person just goes, maybe the daddy just, you know, or whoever, just one person just goes out, buys it, brings it home and say, ta-da, here's our new car. The payment start next month. So how would you feel? So how would you feel? Definitely that's what has been happening with our national budget. So the executive arm of the government, which is actually the cabinet, you know, and the Ministry of Finance has been preparing the budget, finalizing it, and then presenting it to the parliament as a done deal. You understand? And then they're presenting to the parliament as a done deal. So now our representatives, the people we voted for that are in the parliament, have had almost no chance, you know, to influence the priorities before the number are set in, you know, in a stone. So they don't have influence actually on the priorities that should be in the budget. So, and this is what now the Parliamentary Standing Committee on the Budget and Finance is trying to change. So they went to Kenya, according to the article. So they went to Kenya, and make sure that you subscribe to our to the Villager, and to subscribe, all you need to do is just send a WhatsApp message to 081-200-4144. So, and you know, you will be subscribing to the Villager, and you will be receiving your copy, your digital copy every Monday, Wednesday, and of course Friday. So yeah, so the committee went to Kenya and they studied how our neighbors handle their budget process. So, and they came back with a clear message. They came back with a clear message. We need more time. So, and that's what the story is all about. We need more time, not just a week or two, like what they have been doing, but up to 3 months or up to 2 months, up to 3 months or 2 months more to look over the budget and weigh in before it is finalized. Now, what is the proposed solution? There isn't. So what is exactly is the parliament asking for? What are they asking for? Now, first off, they are calling for the government to submit its budget policy statement and budget estimate way in advance, at least about 60 to 90 days before the budget is tabled. So that's what they're asking. So, and this is so that the parliament can really now dig into it, understand what is being proposed, and if needed, maybe suggest changes or relocate funds. So that's what they ask. And now, let's put this now in context. So now currently, so that we understand what they're asking. So currently, our budget cycle is very tight. So the budget is usually tabled in February or March, sometime late in March. And then Parliament then has to rush through debates. So they have to rush through debates, committee reviews, and approval before the new financial year starts in April. So that gives our parliamentarians weeks, not months. So now to review a document that ran into hundred of pages. So what the committee now is proposing is this. Give us the budget early. Okay? Give us the budget early. Let's examine it properly. Let us question the priorities. So because the priorities that are there, as I said earlier on, it's set by the cabinet. So now the parliament said, let's bring that earlier, much, much earlier to the parliament so that we can question the priorities. Let us suggest changes before the final document is printed and presented. And they want what now they call, this is now what they call the pre-budget scrutiny. So before the budget is actually tabled in the House, so there was this pre-budget scrutiny. So now it's actually about giving a parliament the power. So now what they're asking is also that it's actually giving the parliament power to question the priorities that are in the budget. Eh? So they're now asking, well, is there enough money being spent on education, for example? They can question that. What about the health care? So are we borrowing too much money for unproductive project? So these are just kind of few of the questions that could come in, that could come up if the parliament had more time. So that's what they're looking at. Now, looking now to Kenya for now, where this idea is actually coming from. So this idea is coming from, as I said, the committee recently took the benching marking visit to Kenya. So And what did they learn from our neighbors is Kenya has a process where parliament gets to scrutinize the budget much, much, much earlier, allowing them actually to have a meaningful now influence on how the country finance are managed. So the Namibian committee want us now to adopt the very similar approach. Now, what stands out here is the idea of pre-budget scrutiny. I think that's what stands out. By getting a detailed budget policy statement before the main budget is finalized, Parliament could then give input on the fiscal framework before the detailed estimate are prepared. And what's going to make it, it also may going to make it easier, because when it comes to the Parliament, it's something that they were part of, something they have scrutinized. It won't take much to be, to go through. And then that could also lead to a much more robust budget, one that actually reflects the actual needs of Namibians, because now you have this representative, our representative actually involved in the process of the budget, rather than just a plan of the executive branch, of the executive, of the cabinet. So, what else? The committee did not stop there. They didn't stop at just asking for more time. They came back with a whole list of reforms. So there are other things as well. First, they want something called bill costing. That's another thing that they want. This means that every time a parliament consider a new law, technical advisors should calculate exactly how much that law will cost the country. So how many laws have we passed without knowing the price tag? So now this reform would ensure that the parliament understand the financial implication of every piece of legislation. So that's why they also want that bill costing, a reform of that bill costing. Okay. Second, they want post-budget monitoring as well. So this means tracking how the budget is actually spent, through the year. So for now, they don't have that control. So not just approving the money and walk away. For now, they just approve. Okay. Let's go through. That's the budget. We approve that. But watching it as well, reporting on deviation. If there's any deviation, flagging when money meant for one thing to maybe get spent on the something else. So they want really to be, monitoring, the budget itself, watching it. Okay. So they want some kind of a post, budget monitoring. And they also want a rigorous, project appraisal system. Now, why all this is so important? I think why is this so important is that I think it's important because, well, the appraisal system would help us because Namibia's national debt is a really a major issue. Okay? So national debt is a really a major issue for Namibia. And as of January 2026, we're looking at a shocking 149 billion in debt. And that it doesn't even include external borrowing. So if we don't get a grip on our finances, if we keep borrowing without proper checks and balances, we could be in serious trouble. We could be in serious trouble down the line. And the committee wants to make sure that we avoid those risks by strengthening our project appraisal system. So, which I think it's a very good idea. So this means looking at a very proposed government project from infrastructure to social programs. So, and carefully weighing the cost against the benefit before, I think, jumping into debt. So, and here's my question for you. Now, should the parliament have the power to reject project that would increase, maybe project that would increase our national debt to dangerous level? Should now that power come to the parliament, that if, you know, some project would actually increase our national debt to a dangerous level, should the parliament have the power to reject them? Or should that decision rest solely with the executive? Ask the case. What do you think? It's something that we, you know, really need to think about as this idea is being proposed. Now, some of you might be wondering why this is so difficult. Is it so difficult? Why cannot Parliament just demand more time? And the answer definitely lies in our laws. So the committee is calling for amendment to the Public Finance Management Act. So they want the law to explicitly, because it's not there, to explicitly recognize Parliament's role in the fiscal process, in the budget process. So they want the law to provide resources for proper scrutiny as well. So they want the law to mandate that the executives, which is the cabinet, share information in a timely manner. So that's what they want. And it's a calling for the amendment to the Public Finance Management Act. So right now, the parliament operate under Article 59 and 63 of the Namibian Constitution. So they have the power to examine the budgetary policies, you know, review state revenues and expenditure, and oversee public debt. But the practical implementation, that require a cooperation from the executive. And that cooperation hasn't always been forthcoming. And that's why they want to, they're asking for this amendment. So the committee chairperson, Hilaria Mukapuli, she's the one who led the delegation of 9 members from, and these members are coming from various political parties. So, and all of them went to Kenya. This was not a one-party affair, okay? I think that's what we have to understand. Even this reform that the committee is asking is not coming from one party. So this was a cross-party collaborations. All 9 members agree on these recommendations. And that tells you something important. This is not about politics. This is about institutional power. So it's about institutional power and the right of parliament to do its job. I think that's what you're looking at. So, yeah. Now, why do we have it in the villages? Why do we talking about it here? What does this mean for us, for ordinary Namibians, you and me? What does it mean? Now, one thing that we need to understand is that every year, okay, when you let's look at the bigger picture for Namibia. Now, every year, the government collect taxes from us, the pay from your salary, yeah. So the VAT from our purchase, the purchase that we do, the government, you know, taxes us. So the import duty on the goods we buy. So all that money goes into the national treasury. And then the government decided how to spend it. Now, school, whether it's school in your area or clinic in your constituency, so road connecting your town maybe to the rest of the country. So, but here's the thing. Okay, here's the thing. If your member of parliament cannot properly examine the budget, yeah, given the time, given the way the process that we follow at the moment, if they cannot examine the budget, how can they advocate for your needs? How can they ensure that your constituency gets its fair share? How can they challenge allocation that might be unfair or wasteful? So, and we often complain service delivery in this country. Yeah? Now, school without enough teachers, a hospital without enough medicines, a road full of potholes, you know. Part of the solution lies in better budget oversight, right? So making sure that the money goes where it's supposed to go. So, and think about the supplementary budget. Those mid-year adjustment when the government suddenly need more money for something. So without proper monitoring when there aren't proper monitoring, who knows if that money is being used correctly? So who is holding anyone accountable? So, and this reform would help actually to hold the executive accountable. Yeah. So let me throw some question out there for you to think about before maybe I open up my line for you to come through. So, yeah, just for you to think about. Now, if the executive knows the parliament only has, let's say for example, this is a cynical one, but yeah, if the parliament only knows that parliament only has a short time to review the budget, I'm just thinking from that point of view. So what stopped them actually from hiding, you know, if they have some controversial allocation? What stopped them from hiding those controversial allocation in this big complex document that nobody has time actually to read properly? We're looking at the way how we can effectively, you know, monitor and make sure, you know, every penny counts. So now our debt stands at 149 billion and it's still growing. Yeah? And it's still growing. At what point? Just think about it. At what point this become unsustainable? At what point this become unsustainable? And who should have now the power to say, well, enough is enough? So I'm asking you this question based on this reform that the committee is asking. So now you may have this body empowered to be able to do that. So the committee members, came from a different political parties. So they agreed on this recommendation unanimously. Well, according to the article. All right. So I haven't been there. So I'm talking as if I was there. Okay. So yes, when they put their recommendation, they definitely they have agreed, you know, to this recommendation. So if our politicians can agree across party lines on this issue, so maybe the question, why has it taken so long for this reform actually to be proposed? So, and what happened next? That's another question. Like any other, we hear all this recommendation and report from committees, parliamentary committee, a lot of them, you know. Now, will this recommendation be implemented? Or will they just gather dust in some parliamentary office? Another report that never see the light of day. So like those others that that come before them. So, all right. So, yeah. That's, what do you think? What do you think, Namibia? So what's your take on this recommendation, on the oversight of the parliament actually to oversight the budgetary processes, the beginning and watching it happening and watching it being implemented. So what's your take on that? So, 0833-66-091. Our line is it's open now. 0833-66-091. You may come through and have your say. It's a Friday today. Sometimes it's very, very slow here on Friday, but not on the show. So good morning and welcome. So what is your take on our first story?
Omudiha utekirwa kabuna I madina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana longe shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyawo ota ingongoti samwene. Anage shifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayaguro nirandito mwa yoe yonge shifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimwepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengera selma konoraje tatu imwe. Datu ndatu heari jamano tano o niari. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right. A very good morning to you. And if you're just joining us, thanks for joining us. You are not late at all. Thanks for getting on board. So our time is about 8 minutes past the hour of nine. So yeah, what we are looking at, Namibia's Parliamentary Budget Committee is calling for a 60 to 90 additional days to scrutinize the national budget before it is tabled. So this would allow proper analysis instead of the current rushed process. So the current system treats the budget as a fait accompli or a fait accompli, meaning Parliament has been presented with a decision already made with a little room to influence outcomes. So the committee wants additional reform, including now bill costing, post budget monitoring, and better project appraisal to control our growing national debt of 149 billion. So yeah, and what else? And this reform require legal changes. It require legal changes, political will as well, and also I think a public pressure, and that's why we have it here. That's why we're discussing it here. Kenya has shown it can be done. So the question is whether Namibia will follow suit. What I also look at is that the better budget oversight means better service delivery, of course, for all of us. And this is not just about parliamentary procedures. This is about how your money is spent in your communities. This is basically come to that. So yeah, this is your budget, Namibia. This is your budget. This is your money. It's your future. So the question is not whether Parliament should have more time or power to oversee. I think the question is why they have not had it all along. So this is more, why didn't they have it this all along? So the recommendations from the Budget Committee, I think it's a step in the right direction. But report without action are just paper. So if there's no action to that, it's just paper. Implementation is what matters. And something that we keep talking about here, that And as Namibian, we're very good coming up with all, you know, good documents and good recommendations and good committees and forums and all that. But where is the implementation? Okay? That's what matters. So I challenge you today. So I challenge, ask your member of parliament, those reforms. Okay? Where are those reforms? Ask your councillor. Ask people who represent you. What are they doing to ensure proper oversight of public funds? Because we hear from the Auditor General's, how when you listen to the Auditor General's report, how the money, our taxpayers' money mismanaged. Ask people who represent you, wherever you are, in your town, what they are doing to ensure proper oversight of public funds. So make some noise. Let's make some noise about it. We are making noise about it. All right. So if you found it in the villages, we're talking about it. So make some noise. Okay. That's how it get, you know, that's how it become a priority. So because at the end of the day, democracy is not about voting every 5 years. Yeah? It's not about voting every 5 years. It's about holding power accountable every single day. And the budget is where the really power lies. Okay? It's in the budget. That's where the real power lies, in the budget. Yeah, what do you think? 08333-66091, 08333-66091. So what is your take? 08333-66091.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omutiha kutekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikao shafa sana na longe shifa ya shiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anage shifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seisa nina omayakudo ni randito ma yoe, yongeshefa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimwepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma, konarahe tatu imwe. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano o niari. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend,
all right, welcome back. And our time is 14 minutes past the hour of 9. And thanks for joining us. So, yeah, this is Unpacking the Day. So you are tuned into Unpacking the Day. And we just had our first item on the show. So what is your take? And while I'm waiting for you to react to that, let's move forward. Let's move to other stories that we have for you. The other story that we would like to cover is that China just announced they are scrapping tariff on import from 53 African countries, starting May the 1st. Well, that's right. Zero tariff. President Xi Jinping stood at the, not him actually, representative at the African Union summit and said, we are opening our door wide. Okay? He tell the African countries that, hey, we are opening our doors wide open. Well, on the surface, It sounds fantastic. It really sounds fantastic. Free access to the world's second largest economy. I sign me up. Sign me up. Eh? So anyone, any country who say, well, free access to the world's second largest, you know, economy, I will sign up. All right? I will definitely sign up. But let me paint you a picture of where we stand. Okay? Let's give you a really context to this whole thing so that we understand it better. Okay? Now, China has been Africa's biggest trading partner since 2008. Last year alone, trade between China and Africa hit $348 billion. All right? Well, you look at that and said, well, that sounds impressive. But let's break it down. Let's break it down. So then you see what it really means. You know, China sold us $222 billion worth of goods. That's what China sold us. They sold us $222 billion worth of goods. We're talking about phones, talking about machinery, talking about textiles, you know, electronics. So we're talking about finished products, things with value added. Okay? Get that? Things with value added. Now, and what did we sell them? We sell them a $123 billion worth of stuff. $123 billion worth of stuff. But here is now my problem. So remember I said things with value. China have sold us things with value. All right? So, and my problem is that what we sell China, it's mostly raw materials. What we sold to China is mostly raw material, crude oil, unprocessed minerals, agricultural product in their most basic forms. That's what we sold them. We are essentially shipping them in the ingredient. So we're actually shipping them the ingredient while they are actually selling us the finished meal. Eh? So we're shipping them the ingredient, all right? But then they serve us. They're selling us the finished meal from our ingredient. So, and if you look at the trade deficit, it increased to $102 billion last year. All right, we're talking about in Africa, not in Namibia. I don't have your heart, you know, don't have your, you know, kind of like, I don't have a heart attack. We're talking about Africa. So, and still, that's a lot of moolah. So, $102 billion last year. That's the trade deficit. So, that is a 64% jump from the year before. You understand? It's increasing. So we are buying way more from them than they are actually buying from us. That's what it says. With that trade deficit, it says, it's saying we are buying way more from China than they are actually buying from us. And that gap keeps growing. As we see, it's reflecting the year before. Now, the critical question maybe that we need to ask when China say we are removing the tariff, let's bring us now to this. So when China say now we are removing the tariff, I think we have to ask ourselves, what exactly are we celebrating? What are we celebrating? When China said, we remove, for all of you African countries, those who have actually bilateral relations with us, okay? So what exactly we are celebrating now with this removal of tariff? And I want you to think about really, really, really deep, because most of our raw materials, the very things we export to China, the raw materials,
already entered their market under special arrangement. Those already enter into their market with a special arrangement. The tariff on crude oil or basic minerals, already low. They are already low or non-existent. Yeah? Because that's all what we offer. So removing tariff that went really there to begin with, so it doesn't change much. It doesn't change much at all. And here in Namibia, we know this story too well. We know the story too well. We dig uranium out of the ground. Let's get to our first caller. A very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning, mate. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
Good.
Mm.
Are we still exporting raw material to China?
Yeah, we're still exporting raw material. Uranium that we do is raw material.
Okay. So now I was listening to the lady.
To who?
Who was being interviewed.
Who's that?
So David was having an interview today.
Yeah.
With one of the specialists, the lady. And they ask a question about the uranium plants and all these things that we cannot develop them.
Yeah.
Establish them here. And if you say yes, we can. So both and then she said no, it's also because the energy might be more supply here if we do not have more people to consume it.
Yeah.
And many other ingredients like waste and things like that. And then I believe she was also looking at our population and things like that. So then David asked her a question again, even on diamond.
Yeah.
And then so now, is this because of the plants that perhaps are not established here?
Mm.
So if all the country, African countries are going to get that tariff, I mean, they remove the tariff or whatever.
Yeah.
So since people want to make sure that they now negotiate as a corrective force, they speak with one voice, and meaning that all those mining things, minerals that are being mined, they need to make sure that even if the tariff is imposed or removed, then obviously we might be on the good standing.
Yeah.
Maybe to you're right. Standing.
Yeah, you're right. And even that's the idea. That's the plan. But how fast are we doing this? This is the question. Every year, like the African Union, discuss the same thing, and they are not, and this is the issue of Africa, and of course of Namibia as well. And we talk here, we talk this about this every time here. Implementation, you know? So, yes, those are the, even what she's saying, those are things that Namibia wants to do. But the question you always ask, when are we going? Point me to something that we're starting already. You know, well, at least in Namibia, compared to other country, we have started with green hydrogen. I think it's the only country that that have started with some projects, you know, smaller on a small scale. Yeah, but just an example, you know. So yes, those are plans are there, and they keep talking about it, but just getting it implementing is the problem.
Yes, you even mentioned about the timeline. She was asking, how long is it going to take us?
Yeah.
It's going to take us 5 years or 10 years, and probably 10 years to come up with a full swing plan for uranium and things like that.
Yeah. But do you remember also what we, I think a day before yesterday, what we discussed, that our infrastructure actually are designed for extraction, not for integration. So we need to redo we were talking about, it's easier to send things to actually export things to Europe than actually to Angola. You understand?
Okay. you mean it's easy to send things to Europe than Angola?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. From because of first of our infrastructure, first of all the laws that we have between countries, you know. So it would be much easier to send our meat to Europe than actually to Angola. In a current status. Yeah.
Maybe those are some of the reforms that people are talking about.
Exactly.
Let's hope the infrastructure, because we have got a serious problem when it comes to infrastructure.
Yeah.
And the infrastructure can be created, because if you have got now green iron and all these other things, so like they were saying, maybe it's a matter of really think deep and then see how we can create those, construct those infrastructure.
Yeah, the corridor, the corridors that are being talked about, which we are not fishing, those are some of the things that would help in terms of transportation, in terms of logistic and all that. Yeah.
Yeah, so now that our ports are a bit fine, and then the corridor that you are talking about are also being taken care of, maybe it's the organization of our material here that can be transported that is perhaps a challenge.
Mm.
Otherwise, those are the case, let's see how people can combine their effort and get that tariff. By the time it will reach Namibia, I think it will be on the good, on the advantage will be on our side.
All right.
So thank you very much.
Thank you, Uncle Bona.
Good.
Yeah, as I said, we know the story too well. Here in Namibia, we know the story too well. We dig uranium out of the ground. We ship it off, you know. There has been a good discussion. I believe there has been a very good discussion with David and the guest this morning. And yeah, we do that. We ship them out. We ship them off. And someone else turned into a nuclear fuel. Turn into a medical, isotopes, you know. So, yeah, we watch fish, we catch fish in our waters. We export them fresh. Yeah? We export them fresh or barely processed. And they end up at the supermarket shelf somewhere in Beijing or in Madrid with much higher price tag. And where is our cut of the value? Where is our cut for the value? Very good morning.
Yes, morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Yes, Mike, the weather.
It just started. Is it raining? Where are you in Windhoek?
Yes, we are in Windhoek. It's not raining. Only that I get a flu, man.
Oh, okay.
You don't hear my voice.
Yeah, no, I can hear you.
Yeah.
Well, it happens to all of us, you know. That's not something you worry about. It will go. It will go. Yeah.
No, I never go for hospital for it.
That will go. Don't worry.
It's a come and go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mike, sorry, I left you when you were just talking about the budget.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I want to say something about it.
Just hold on, eh? And then you can comment after this quickly. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There is no price like the ShopRite price. That's why we're committed to bringing you lower prices on all the essentials you need. Like 2 kg crystal gold parboiled rice for only $29.99. And 5 kg Sugar King white sugar for only $98.99. Never pay more than the ShopRite price. Valid until 22 February 2026. Only at ShopRite. Catch ready, steady, cook on One Africa. Proudly brought to you by ShopRite Namibia.
All right, we can go on. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. You know, Mike, yeah. I think the parliamentary committee,
yeah,
they done well job done.
Yeah.
Because that's why our budget is never been effective enough, because they are not addressing the issue which are pertaining to our nation.
Yeah.
because this is just a menu, one-man show.
Yeah, it's actually the executive body that the cabinet. Let's say the cabinet. Yeah.
Yeah, because remember they decide on our behalf, and this is affecting everybody. Where even like last time we heard even Minister of Finance complaining about it. Like what? What did you see when you guys put the others with 10 million? There was something like, but I don't know how far they deal with it. Yeah. Because somebody put it directly for 10 million just to get there. I don't know for what. He's asking, what does this mean? Now, I think it's our time, our parliament to question.
Yeah, I think it's a brilliant idea to have a pre-budgetary scrutiny. You know, before it comes to House, everybody has agreed to it, and we know what are the priority, and priority has been agreed by everyone, by the representative of the people as well.
You know? I'm telling you, which is a good thing, because now these guys, they are listening to us, our problem, every day they listen to what we are saying.
Yeah.
And now somebody draw up a budget without even knowing what really a major issue affecting the nation, even that time.
Because someone who come from Kunene region, you know, would actually fight for that. No. Why do you allocate only this much, you know, for the Kunene in terms of education or whatever the case may be? No. Because of this and this, when we argue like that before the budget actually is tabled, then changes are made. And because now what happened is that it comes and there's nothing you change. No matter how much you argue and whatever, it's kind of like a rubber stamp. You just actually rubber stamp what is already decided.
We can have the it's just the same situation where we find ourselves when going for insurance.
Yeah,
you better give a bunch of piece of paper, in which you just need to complete.
You just need to sign.
Sign. And we don't know what even you are signing for.
Exactly.
And
the next thing you hear, you are signing. You are signing because you're excited. Yeah. You won the car. You hear, no. You were supposed the one who was driving, so you're not gonna get any money from us. A new car.
This is what I'm telling you, what we are supposed to say. I mean, like now, it's hard time, I think, and they've done it well.
Yeah, no. The question is, this is still a recommendation, you know, and it still needs to be decided whether that will be the case or not. So.
But for us, I think most of us, we are happy if they are given enough time to study the budget and that they can have their input on time.
Yeah.
Because remember, if you are just giving it to people 2 weeks or 1 week even, what are they going to debate about it to finish the whole budget?
Yeah.
Because sometimes we are allocating money even like where? The defense. We understand, every country is for you. You have to have a strong defense.
Yeah. But the other thing is also, what does it serve? Even if now they question these things, there's nothing that's going to change.
Exactly. There's
nothing going to change. So it just let's hear your voice, but that's your voice would not influence anything.
That's the thing.
So this
they don't have their own thing.
Exactly. They are not going to go into the drawing board again and change the second thing.
Yeah.
No.
You are just a sake of debate.
Yeah, it's just a sake of how do you feel about this? And we don't care. We don't care how you feel. So
we already decide.
Yeah.
You see?
So I think this is a very good idea, and I think it should be.
I'm really applauding for them to do that.
Yeah.
Seriously, this is a good thing indeed. Yeah. What did they come up with? And this is what is supposed to be done a long time after 36 years now.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are going on. Because remember, we have a lot of priority which we sideline them. Like now you are giving a Minister of Defense a lot of money, then you leave agriculture with what? Sometimes even they are getting 100.
Yeah.
Instead of something like a billion, they are getting 100, 400, 800. What are we going to do with data in agriculture? And then remember, agriculture is one of what? It takes a long time to the profit to recover. I mean, for you to get the profit. That's why we see young people are not engaging in agriculture because they know to take time.
Yeah.
And everybody want to make money quick, you see?
This is a check and balance. It's a check and balance mechanism. It is an oversight mechanism where the parliament has got the power to say, no, no, we change the priority. Where are you spending your money? Or why are you spending money in this project that actually increase our debt? That shouldn't happen, you know? So, and that, as I really, as I said, it's a check and balances mechanisms, which should be, everybody should be, go for it, you know?
Yeah, very much. It makes sense for us, seriously.
Yeah.
And I'm happy for them to propose something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, Michael, let me give other people a chance.
All right. Thanks for coming through.
Okay, cheers.
Yeah.
I definitely that's a good proposal, that's a good recommendation, and it should be taken with utmost consideration. So because it will change, you know, as I said, who hold the cabinet accountable, you know, and this would be now the way to do that. So we're looking at as I said, we're talking about the China opening its door to African countries with a zero tariff starting the first of May this year, and I was talking about that. You know, how does it benefit much of African countries, because Most of this country actually export, you know, raw material. Yeah, so that's the thing, we export to China. So, and as I said already, this when there are special arrangements that are done already with this export, these commodities that China wants from Africa. So the tariff on crude oil and basic minerals, they already have a low or non-existent. They're already low and non-existent. Sometimes they are not tariff anymore. Because why? China actually want this. So why would it make it difficult for themselves? For getting this minerals. So removing tariff that went really there to begin with, it doesn't change much of anything. And I said, in Namibia, we know this too well, because, you know, we dig out uranium that we ship to China, and then in China they turn into nuclear fuel or nuclear power. So when it comes to our fish, not only in terms of uranium, when it comes to our fish, the same thing. You know, we're not processing, even fish now, we're not canning them. We're not doing the process, the value addition in Namibia. Something that we keep talking about. So what we do, we ship them, we export them fresh, and they end up in a supermarket shelf somewhere in Beijing with a higher price tag. So, and what we need to ask is that, where is our cut? Where is our cut of that value? And here's another thing. Okay, here's another thing. Even the export we do manage, now the export that we do manage, are concentrated in just a few countries. They are concentrated in just a few countries. Angola with its oil, Democratic Republic of Congo with cobalt and copper, you know, South Africa with a bit of everything. So the rest of us, we barely in the game. So we are barely in the game, you know. So then what does this mean? It means this zero tariff policy, well, might help Angola sell more oil. This means it just helped them to sell more oil and help DRC to move more cobalt. But for other countries, maybe like Namibia, you know, like Malawi, like Madagascar, what our play here? So what is our play here? So we don't have the volume. So we don't have the volume. So we don't have the processing capacity. So we are standing on the sideline watching a game where only a few players get to touch the ball. Yeah? So you're just standing on the sideline watching, you know, watching a few players get to touch the ball. So, yeah. But let's get to the heart of this. All right? Let's get to really, really to the heart of this. Now, the problem is not tariff. Okay? The problem is not tariff. I think the problem is what we are selling. I think that's the problem. What we are selling is the problem. We are stuck, you know, something that we say yesterday or day before yesterday, we are stuck in this colonial era trade pattern where we export raw material, import finished good. We're stuck in that colonial era, era trade pattern. I call it colonial era trade pattern. We're stuck in that. China didn't invent this system. So Europe actually perfected it centuries ago. So, but China is certainly benefiting from it now. So Beijing say this move, so they say that this move will, move, like the zero tariff, will create a new opportunity for Africa, for Africa's development. Well, fair enough. So, but opportunity for what? Okay. To sell more unprocessed good? Is that the opportunity now to sell more unprocessed good? To dig deeper holes in our ground and ship the content away? Is that the opportunity for Africa development? So, and the African Export Import Bank put it bluntly in their report last November. If you look at that report, they said, if we want to actually benefit from this, and this is something you hear all the time, they're not saying something different. So we need to stop shipping raw materials. We need to start value a chain. Well, this is the same thing our ministers, our president saying. Process our minerals. Turn our agriculture product into finished goods. Build the factories, the processing plants. We even had a budget for processing, you know, plants in every region. It was in every region or in every constituency. So the infrastructure that add value before we export. So we know that. And we become an expert. I have even become an expert about that, you know, in terms of saying it. Not an expert in understanding it in depth, but, you know, in saying it, because it's something that we hear every day. It's something me and the ministers, and we're saying exactly the same thing. Yeah? So we must process our mineral, turn our agriculture product into finished good, you know, build factories, processing plants, you know, infrastructure that add values. You know, we're just saying those, but there are no plans. There's no like, okay, we will start this next year. We will have a processing plant next year. It's amazing. We have actually money for processing plant, for processing facilities in each region. There was money, but I don't know whether that was budgeted. I don't know whether there was actual money available. You know, that's always the case. So what happened? We have come already to the end of 25-26 budget. We're already preparing for a new budget, 26-27. What happened to that? If there was money available, what happened to it? Eh? It goes back to the treasury. Where is the implementation of this plan? And this goes from country level to a continental level. The problems that we have in the country is the same problem we have on a even worse on a continental level. So let me ask you, Are you ready for this opportunity? Now, this opportunity that's being offered. So what do you have that you now can export to China in as a finish, as a finished good, as a finished product? Are we just getting better terms of the same old losing games? This is a losing game. You just get a better terms now. Eh? Now, when China says we want to deepen mutual beneficial cooperation, are we showing up as equal partners, or we showing up as a resource supplier? What are we showing up? Are we showing up as an equal partner, or are we showing up as a resource supplier? As I said, it's just getting better terms on the same old losing games. You will turn up as a resource supplier. And well, here's an uncomfortable question. Okay? Here's an uncomfortable question for you. Is China, all right. So now, is China interested in buying our processed good? Are they interested in buying our processed good? Or are they interested really? That is something that maybe we need to think about. I will come to this. Let me hear what the caller has to say.
Hey, very, very good morning.
Buying our processed
goods? Yes.
Good morning.
Madam Mike?
Yeah.
Sorry to come back. But you can just give me 2 minutes, even.
Yeah, this is a different story, yeah. So you're welcome. Yeah. Welcome to come.
I want to touch on when it comes to China agreement with Africa.
Yeah.
You see, why today Chinese are rich than everybody, even now USA, they are being shaken.
Mm.
Is that they find a loophole how to for our leaders so they can extract the material using different methods.
Yeah.
Like what they come up with to build us road, leaving us with a nice building, but at the end of the day, again, still a kind of like, not really, it's a loan. But remember, we are getting a loan, so much of the African countries, especially the SADC one, we are owing Chinese. More than even billions.
Yeah, the debts are starting to increase in Africa to China.
I'm telling you. We are all Chinese nicely, like nobody business. Like in Namibia, I know. But
Namibia is not that bad. Namibia is still relatively okay.
No, but still, it's still bad because these guys, they are getting away from our land for nothing.
Yeah.
We support that debt, supposedly paid by Ulanium alone. So at least, then even if no, we can have in the losing, at least we can even have 30%, then we give them 70, so they still paying off that debt. But we have only 3 or 5% in our land.
Yeah.
But the fact is that our African leaders, I don't know if this is single for us just to get rich quickly, or us just to get there, in the development we are talking about, but if you see,
there are a lot of challenges. One, we don't have the skills. We don't have the skills to extract this ourselves. Secondly, we don't have the equipment, you know, and the know-how how to do that. So there are so many challenges why we opt for that, you know.
I know, I understand, Mike, but at the same time, we cannot just live it the way we are, like.
Exactly. Exactly.
I cannot, how can I call it, like, you must have a dignity.
But
that's moral of
but
dignity.
This is the,
where you say no.
Yeah. But this is the question.
You are not doing 50.
Yeah, this is the question I was about to ask, ne?
Yeah.
So is China really interested in buying our processed good? Let's say, for example, are they interested in our processed good, our manufactured product, or they prefer us exactly where we are?
Yeah? They prefer where we are.
Yeah.
That's why they come up with zero tariff. Do you think this zero tariff is going to really develop us? No. Yeah. It's more shipping. You'll be more shipping to China.
Yeah, it's more. You're giving more. It's kind of opening you to, you know, now there's no restriction. We take more.
Okay. Yeah. If you want to get a mouse, do you think you can just put a trap there without a food? Yeah, or even a teeth. Yeah, that's how it is. You have to put a teeth there so you can... Because remember now, the fight is also between now. I think also Russia realized that, yes, African leaders, they are very easy to deal with them. Even you just have to come up with, I'll give you a Mercedes-Benz or whatever, a Prado. They'll fall for it. And America also, they know. America, they've been doing that, but they never step up their game. China has come up with a different game where we are just allowed to what? As a player, I mean, maybe you are a player. You know, player when you have to have a substitute at 95 minutes.
The problem is that we have the means, but we really don't have. We have actually the resources, but we don't have the means to actually develop to what we want.
No, the thing is that here is our mindset. It's a lack of leadership.
Yeah.
If we have a leadership, we're saying 50-50. If there's no 50-50, there's no negotiation.
Mm.
So that's why they say no pain, no gain.
Yeah.
And we want to get it easily without going through pain.
Yeah.
And there's nothing like that in life. We have to go, my friend, we have to dig for you to get whatever diamond with. And they don't give up, maybe because you are near to get it even.
Yeah.
But the way we are giving our resources, remember, if we say no Chinese, put up a lithium processing refinery.
Yeah, even something little.
You might find it even the Chinese saying no. You have to buy steak.
Even something just enough for our, like that's what we're talking on early morning scoop. It's just enough for our populations. At least, so much of maybe let 90% or 80% now it's being exported as a raw material, but there's the 20% that is actually now that a factory that's actually put in, that's actually established in Namibia to cater for our needs, you know?
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Look.
So at least something, you know?
When you even look at our leaders, they are talking about the high minimum, and then you look the way we are giving our resources. Even talk about fish. You know, fish doesn't need a lot of things, guys, man. Even just to clean them. Let us just clean them here before they go to Spain. Yeah.
Yeah.
They are going all the way.
But the thing is this goes back to the question that I asked. Do Spain want a processed good? They don't want a processed good. They don't want a manufactured product. So
No. They want it the way it is.
Yeah.
Law form.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
They can give the job to their own people.
Exactly.
And it's what we are complaining. Come on, they don't have, but the one who are giving the job away.
Yeah, but the thing is now, really, is we're not thinking deep sometimes. If this is the case, let's say for example, no foreign investors want a processed goods or manufactured product. So if that's the case, then what we are doing, it absolutely doesn't take us anywhere.
Not at all.
You understand? We need to redo. We need to come up with different strategy and different. So, because what we are trying to do, where we asking, where we asking actually the foreign investors to let's do something. Let's have all this process. Let's have all these things processed in our country. Let all this manufactured in our what it does. That's not what they want. That's not why they're investing in.
Nobody will come in and like to do that for you.
Yeah.
If you are not doing it yourself.
Yeah.
And it's what I'm saying, sometimes when you are giving even this quota of fish, sometimes if you know the person, then if you don't want to open the factory, then you are not going to get our quota. That's it.
Yeah.
Even if we are saying they get the what, quotas, no, we say no, unless you have factory. If you don't have a factory, what are you going to do with that quota?
Yeah, but we should actually, even in small... sector.
Yeah, well, it, even, it,
Because
even,
most of
even ourselves, right, we want to eat fish.
Yeah.
We don't just want to mass bangle with every day we are eating. No, yeah. We want also to eat fish. And then even the mass bangle now is almost like what? One is even like what? $10 already. Yeah. Or more than that.
Okay, let me finish this part, né? Because there's still something I want to finish on. All right.
Mm. All right, Mike.
Okay, great.
Yeah, so that's the thing, you know, that and sometimes when I listen, and when you think that, do really now when we talk about, we need to come up with a different strategy that when we talk about that we need to process the good need to be processed in our, you know, in here. Value addition, when you talk about value addition, that means that we need to put in, we need actually to put in ourselves to be able to do that. And if we are not willing to do that, that's not going to happen, because investors wouldn't want to share 50-50 while, you know, they're bringing in their equipment, they're bringing in their experts, and they're the one who doing that. Imagine now the company that's actually doing the oil exploring. And you said, okay, you know, I want 50. It's going to be 50-50. Well, they said, well, bring in same, you know, now you have also now required to bring in the same amount of investment in that project. So sometimes you look at what we're talking about, you can say, this is going to go on. It's going to go on, because there wouldn't be any investors that actually want that. As I said, China is really not interested. Is interested buying our processed good, our manufactured product? No. Do they prefer us exactly where we are? Yes. As a supplier of cheap raw material, while they build the industries themselves. That's what they prefer. Yeah? So, and now let's not be naive. The other thing is, let's not be naive. This announcement didn't happen in a vacuum. China made this move right as the global trade is getting messy, you know, with America slapping tariff left and right under the Trump administration. So Beijing is playing a chess here. So they're playing a chess here. They are securing resources suppliers, building goodwill and positioning themselves as Africa reliable partner, while the West actually turns inward. So China actually representing themselves as a reliable partner. So now, and notice the timing of that actual announcement. At the African Union summit, with all with our leaders gathered, and, you know, that is maximum visibility, maximum diplomatic, you know, point. So, and there's even a political jab in there. You know what I mean? A political jab is that all 50 countries or 53 countries with diplomatic ties to China get this deal, except one. Who know that country is? So Eswatini. So that's what I call a political jab, because Eswatini, it's recognized. Eswatini recognized Taiwan. You know, so because Eswatini recognized Taiwan, it's left out in the cold. It's left out in the cold. So, and it's basically what America is doing. And the message is clear. So the message is very clear. Align with Beijing and the door is open. Go another way. I mean, go another way and you are on your own. So, but let's move beyond cynicism. to solution. So what do we actually need to do? So according to expert, we need, first of all, we need actually to stop celebrating tariff removal as victories when we are not selling anything of value. What are you celebrating about? Because you're not selling anything of value. You're selling raw materials. And we need industrial policy, real serious investment in processing facilities. Eh? If you are mining lithium, we should be making batteries. Well, that's even what our ministers are saying. That's what our president is saying. If we are growing cotton, we should be making clothes. Yeah? If we are catching fish like Namibia, so we should be canning them, packaging them, branding them. Yeah? That's what we should be doing. And of course, something that we were talking about yesterday or day before yesterday, that the regional integration, that we need really. The and probably Uncle Bona mentioned something on this. So the African Continental Free Trade Area is not just a nice idea, seriously. And as the world becoming more fragmented, it's not just a nice idea. It is essential. It is essential. We need to build supply chain across Africa. So we are not dependent on shipping everything to China or Europe for processing. And we need to honestly conversate. We need an honest conversation with our Chinese partners. So not just handshake, photo at summit, but a real negotiation about technology transfer. Show me. There has been companies here from China. Show me the technology transfer. Show me about industries that have been built. Show me a job that has been creating. The job that is not involving digging and shipping. I'm talking a job, the high-level job. Eh? So, yeah. So because here is the uncomfortable truth that we need to face as Namibia. Really, this zero tariff policy is a test. It's China saying, here is the door open. Here is the open door. What are you? What are you going to bring through it? So what are you going to bring through it? If you show up with the same raw material we have sold, are we going to show up with the same raw material we have always sold? Or just in a slightly larger quantities. Now it's going to be just in a slightly larger quantity. And then 10 years from now, we'll be having the same conversation about trade imbalances and dependency. So that's definitely what's going to happen. All right. So, and our time is about 3 minutes past the hour of 10. It's unfortunately that you're calling at this time. And that's bring us to the end of the show. So let me hand over to Tate France. Maybe take it up with Tate France, coming up with the Kutha Mosha, handing over to the capital. And it's a very beautiful day. It's raining cats and dogs on these sides. I think we're going to have a great weekend. So for me, Michael Chiavelli, I wish you a very good day ahead. And make sure you make friends with teachers and police. From me, we see each other tomorrow. We talk to each other tomorrow from 11 to 1 o'clock on Mind Matter. Please make sure that you join me at that time. So, Tate France, take it up. Over to you. And thanks, and have a good day.